Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. Dearly bought hearers, by the blood of Jesus Christ, today's gospel lesson tells us how Jesus called St. Peter to be an apostle. At this point in Luke's gospel, he has related the stories of St. John the Baptist's conception and birth, Jesus' conception and birth, and Jesus' first miracles and teachings that happened before he had called his apostles to him. Now, the opening of the passage paints a picture. Jesus is by the Lake of Gennesaret, sometimes also referred to as the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place, three names. And there's a big crowd around. They have heard about the miracles that Jesus is doing and that he teaches with authority. They're hearing that there's a man fulfilling the prophets. In today's terms, he had gone viral. And so there's a big crowd there, and they're pressing against him because they want to hear what he has to say, and they want to see what he's going to do. So what he does is he asks one of the fishermen if he can use his boat. There's a bunch of people there, and he needs to create a little space so that he can communicate effectively with the people. Kind of like what we're doing here today, where I have a little bit of space between me and you, so I can see you and you can see me, and we can have effective communication. And then it says, when he finished teaching, he told the fishermen to row out into the deep water and let down their nets. I'm going to stop there for just a second, and we're going to talk about the fishermen. I want to highlight what it is that we learn from the text, because it can go unnoticed. What we know is that they're off mending their nets. So, and then from what St. Peter says, we know that they've been up all night. They've been working and fishing all night, so they're tired and they haven't caught anything. So they're probably not really happy. Maybe just a little dejected and probably wanting to finish cleaning their equipment and get some sleep so that they can get up that next night and go fishing again. If we use worldly wisdom, they would have looked at him and said, thanks, but no thanks. Just leave it to the pros and we'll do it. But that's not what St. Peter says. Not by a long shot. He violates that earthly wisdom and he says, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. Now, I've read that twice in this homily and three times altogether because it's important. This is a sign of the Holy Spirit working powerfully in St. Peter. There are few such instances in the Gospels of the Holy Spirit working in Peter's heart so that he can make a bold confession of faith. Because it would not be possible for him to make that confession without the Holy Spirit. We think of the time where Jesus asked the apostles who he is. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response is that flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. That by natural reason, you can't know this. But you know it because the Holy Spirit has revealed this to you. I think this faith goes so strong and so deeply that if Jesus had said, cast your nets on the ground over there instead of out in the deep water, St. Peter would have done it. And he would have expected to pull up those nets full of fish. Not because any earthly wisdom could tell him, but because he had faith in Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of God and he can work that kind of miracle. Now, we always have to mention, when we talk about St. Peter's faith, he also had his flaws. He was a sinful human being, like all of us, and he had his doubts, and he had his moments of falling away. But that's not the defining legacy. Now, we talked about this. I find it interesting that there is a companion story that goes along with this. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a framework so that we can really draw out some of these parallels. The account from today's gospel, there's at least two layers. The first one is very topical. It says, this is a story where we see Jesus calling St. Peter to follow him, where St. Peter leaves all that he had known before and goes after Jesus. There's another layer that says, this brings closure close to the end of Jesus' pre-ascension ministry on earth. So in the second event, it's related to us in the 21st chapter of St. John. St. Peter and some of the apostles have returned to Galilee and they're fishing because that's their trade. We think of the gospel story where Jesus is charged a tax and he tells St. Peter to go out and throw in a line, and whatever fish he brings, he'll find the money for the tax in the fish's mouth. So St. Peter does this. So it seems like fishing is a very common part of how they support themselves as they're going out and preaching the gospel. And in this time, we see them, and Jesus comes up. They don't know it's Jesus, but he asks them, children, have you any meat? And you can hear the dejection and the sadness in his voice when he says, no. Again, we've been up all night doing this strenuous physical labor. All we have to show for it are tired backs, calloused hands, and bruised egos. They don't have any meat to sell at the market. They don't have any earnings to support themselves and their families. And they're sad. Then, just like before, Jesus says to let down the nets. And they do it. They catch so many fish that the boat is sinking, the nets are breaking, and St. Peter sees it immediately. He recognizes what's going on. He says, I've seen this before. And when that happened, it was Jesus. He doesn't wait. There's no hesitation. He grabs his coat, jumps in the water, and starts swimming. The time before, we talked about him making a confession with his mouth and his words. But this time, he uses his feet. And he just goes to Jesus because he understood that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection proved him to be the promised Messiah. So these two events near the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry and at the end illustrate for us deep interconnections with God's plan. None of these things happen randomly. None of the things in our lives happen randomly. We're not here by chance. And in understanding this interconnectedness, it encourages our reason. And our reason supports the faith that we receive through Jesus Christ, so that believing in him, we might have life through his name. Now, this is a point where we might be tempted to think that this believing is easy, that it's a simple task, but it's very difficult. In fact, with man, it is impossible. Living by faith requires us to put aside our egos and everything that we can do or know. We have to receive the gift of faith like children. Why do we use that? Why does Jesus use that comparison? We think that we have to receive this passively, graciously, because children don't have the skills or knowledge to take care and provide for themselves. They are dependent on the parents and other resources that God provides to them. Similarly, we cannot create faith. We can't will ourselves to believe, but rather we receive faith in hearing the word. Because of this, we remain humble and we disregard worldly wisdom when it contradicts Jesus, because his wisdom is a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Greeks. But unto those who are called, it is the wisdom of God. This wisdom tells us to love unconditionally, to live in unworldly ways so that we do not respond to actions and attitudes taken against us in kind. Instead, we respond in strength and in faith, knowing that our ultimate good is in our Father's hands, so that we do not give in despite the tribulations. We know that our consolation is secure in our home country of heaven. We have God's promises that we will be rewarded for persevering, even when we know that we will sin and that we will fall short of his commands. Just like St. Peter, we will strive and we will fail. We won't sin because things outside of ourselves, but because we have sin warring in our flesh. And sometimes we're going to lose that fight. But we have his promises. We have those promises given to us in our baptism, and that is why we repent daily. We drown those old Adams in the waters of our baptismal grace, and we rise to fight manfully until that blessed day when he will call us to his kingdom in heaven, where we will know peace. And not peace as we know here on the earth, but his eternal and lasting peace. In the collect today, we prayed for earthly peace. It's associated with good government, because we want to minimize any kind of suffering, especially that for righteousness' sake. There are many places, past, present, and future, where Christians are persecuted and receive suffering for righteousness' sake. And that's normal, because Jesus tells us that he suffered, and the world is going to treat us that follow him in the same way. But we also are told to take our petitions to the Father, confident that he will give us everything that we need. And for that reason, we pray for peace and good governance that allows Christian flourishing with the full faith that our Heavenly Father hears and will provide us, not according to our will, but according to his good and gracious will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.